The book of Hebrews we studied this morning about the Son being superior to the angels. Found that in the text in first chapter of the book of Hebrews, verse 5 through verse 14. That being true, of course, the writer of Hebrews then exhorts those to whom he was writing to as well as to us. Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, that is, those things spoken by the Son, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proves steadfast, certain, sure, and fixed, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord? The answer to that question is there will be no escape. So having mentioned the fact that the Son is superior to angels, and having exhorted us to give heed to the message that he speaks rather than the message that the angels brought about through the prophets, then he tells us in verse 5 through verse 9 of the second chapter of Hebrews that the Son has been made lower than the angels. Seems to be a contradiction. First, he's superior to the angels, but then we read that the Son has been made a little lower than the angels. Hebrews 2, beginning in verse 5. But he has not yet put the world to come, of which we speak, in subjection to angels. But one testifies in a certain place, and this quote is taken from Psalm chapter 8, verse 4 through 6. What is man that you're mindful of him? Or the son of man that you take care of him? You have made him a little lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor, and set him over the works of your hands. You have put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all things in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we do not yet see all things put under him. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for every one or every man. This should be of great importance to each one of us because our own eternal glory and honor comes about as a result of Jesus being made a little lower than the angels. So we want to study this subject tonight, the Son being made a little lower than the angels. In order to begin our study of this subject, though, we want to go to the psalm that's quoted in our reading tonight in Psalm 8. As this psalm is quoted in our text here in Hebrews 2, verse 5 through 9, we need to understand that psalm in the context in which it was given in the Old Testament scriptures. And then we can bring it forward into the New Testament where we find it this evening in our text and make application to it of Jesus being made a little lower than the angels. So Psalm 8, beginning in verse 1. This is said to be a psalm of David. You can almost imagine David as he is wording this psalm, perhaps as a shepherd tending his sheep, perhaps laying on his back out in the open field in the middle of the night and looking up at the heavens and seeing all God's creation in that he is made with his fingers. The psalm begins in Psalm 8 and in verse 1 by saying, O Lord our God, Yahweh our God, how excellent is your name in all of the earth, how excellent, how majestic, how powerful, how magnificent is your name in all the earth. The word name here is put for the power or person of God himself. So the psalmist, David, begins by declaring the powerful God that he speaks of in this text, bringing about the creation that he observes. And we'll see this same statement made in verse 9 at the end of this psalm. O Lord our God, how excellent, how magnificent, how awesome is your name, your person, your power in all the earth, who have set your glory above the heavens. Verse 2, Psalm 8. Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants you have ordained strength. Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants you, God, have ordained strength. We're going to see that this psalm has to do with man. It begins with the idea of man being an infant. That is, man created in the image of God, Genesis 1 and verse 26, is unlike all the rest of God's creation. Though he is a little lower than the angels, yet he's given the ability to think. He's given the ability to reason, the ability to speak. And even the very words of a young child shows the strength of God in the weakness of man. So he says, out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants you have ordained strength. You have established strength. There's strength and power even in the very words of an infant, even in the very words of man when he is young. Because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. Yes, even the enemies of God, even his enemies would not praise him, but young children will, because they can recognize and realize that there is a God. As a matter of fact, Jesus used this very thought in this psalm. Remember, as he entered into the city of Jerusalem in his triumphant entry, and the young children were crying out, Hosanna, Christ the King has come. And of course, the religious leaders of that day did not like that. But Jesus points this fact out to them. In Matthew 21 and verse 16, he said to him, do you hear what these are saying, these young children? And Jesus said to them, yes, you have never read, out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have perfected praise. Praise comes from even the youngest of men. Praise comes from man as he declares the great glory that God has bestowed upon man in the creation that he has brought into existence. Back in our psalm, in Psalm 8 now, beginning in verse 3. David says, when I consider your heavens, note this, the work of your fingers. Now we can do a lot of work as man, but normally it takes our hands. Our hands with our fingers. But the very heavens of God, this is how powerful, how awesome, and how magnificent God is. With his fingers, he could create and paint the heavenly picture we see when we look up at the night sky. When I consider the heavens, the work of your hands, the moon and the stars which you have ordained or established. So David looks at all of God's creation and note all that God did in bringing about that. But then he wonders, all of this magnificent creation that he's brought into existence. But then he wonders about himself. He wonders about man in general. He says, what is man that you're mindful of him? Man who is just a little speck. Man who is nothing compared to the vast spread of heaven out before us. You know, we can look into the heavens and we can see a great sun in the daylight. We can't see the thousands upon thousands of suns still out there in the galaxy. Nor perhaps the thousands upon thousands of galaxies with thousands upon thousands of other suns in those galaxies. That's how vast the heavens are. And so as David would look up into the heavens and consider the work of God in creating that, he would say, well, what is man? What is man? He's just a little speck. He's like a grain of sand on a seashore of sand. So insignificant compared to the vast universe before him. What is man that you're mindful of him? Mindful means, what is man that you would even give a thought to him, that you would think about him and bring to your remembrance that he was created in your image? And the Son of Man, that you visit him. Now, we see that phrase, Son of Man, and we often, perhaps, or automatically think that Jesus is under consideration, but he's not. It's Hebrew parallelism. It simply speaks of man. What is man that you're mindful of him, and man that you visit him? Visit means to aid, help, assist, be benevolent toward. The phrase Son of Man is used often in reference to just being a man. As a matter of fact, if you're familiar with the book of Ezekiel, Ezekiel refers to himself, a prophet, in need and in need of help and benevolence from God, often referred to himself as Son of Man. We see the same phrase used by Job as well in regard to man. So it's man under consideration. As David looks upon the creation of God, he wants to know, well, what is man? So insignificant in all God's creation that God would give him a second thought, that God would think about him, remember him as being created in his image, and visit him with help and aid and assistance. You have made him, who's the him? You have made man. You've made man a little lower than the angels. You've made him a little lower than the angels? A little lower means lower in status. Little has reference to degree. Angels are always superior to man in the Scriptures. But man was created just a little bit lower in degree of status and rank than the angels. So you've made man a little lower than the angels. And you have crowned him, you've crowned man with glory and honor. That is, God has bestowed glory and honor upon man in some way. How was that? We read on, Psalm 8 and in verse 6. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. This is how he's been crowned with glory and honor. God gave dominion, rule, authority over the works of his hands to man. You have put all things under his feet. That is, God's creation has been subjected to the rule and oversight of man. All sheep, all oxen, even the beast of the field, the birds of the air and the fish of the sea that pass through the paths of the sea, all of this has been subjected to the rule and dominion of man. Thus, God has bestowed glory and honor upon man. He didn't give that glory and honor to angels to rule and have subjection over his creation. No, he gave that glory and honor to man. He bestowed that upon man. We see that from the very beginning. Genesis 1 and verse 26. Then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him. Male and female he created them. Then God blessed them and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth, and note this, subdue it. Bring it under your subjection. Have dominion or rule over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over every living thing that moves on the earth. So God bestowed glory and honor upon man by giving him rule. Rule and sovereignty, you might say, over his creation. And back to our Psalm. Psalm 8 then, and verse 9 ends as it began with this benediction from David. O Lord our God, how excellent, how magnificent, how awesome is your name, your person, your power in all the earth. That's Psalm 8. verse 1 through verse 9. Now that psalm, verse 4 through 6 of that psalm, is quoted in our text. So now we go to our text, as it speaks about the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, being made a little lower than the angels. Hebrews 2 and in verse 5. Note it begins with that little word for. The Greek conjunction gar gives a reason for the previous statement. The statement that was made beginning in Hebrews 2 and in verse 1. Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we let them drift. For he has not put the world to come, of which we speak, in subjection to angels. You might say it's another reason linked to those reasons given in verse 5 through verse 14 of chapter 1 in regard to Jesus being superior to the angels. So he says, for he's not put the world to come, of which we speak, in subjection to angels. Note this, of which we speak. He's been speaking of the world to come. Remember, he did speak of the world to come. But the world to come was not put in subjection to angels, but it was put in subjection to Jesus Christ. Remember, Hebrews 1 and verse 6. But when he again brings the firstborn into the world, what world? The spiritual world, the heavenly world. All that Christ rules and reigns over as he sits at the Father's right hand. So, God has not put the world to come, of which we speak, in subjecting the angels. He didn't subject the world to come, the heavenly world, the spiritual world. We might say the spiritual realm in which Christ rules and reigns over. It wasn't subjected to angels. It was subjected to man. It was subjected to Jesus Christ as a man. Hebrews 2, verse 6 now, and we have the quote from Psalm 8. Let's read through it again. But one testifies in a certain place. The one, of course, is David, saying, what is man that you're mindful of him? Or the son of man that you take care of him? Remember, that just simply refers to man. So what is man that you're mindful of him? What is man that you even think about him? What is man that you contemplate his condition? Lost. Or the son of man, that is man that you take care of him, that you provide salvation for him. You help him. You have made him a little lower than the angels. You've made man a little lower than the angels. A little lower has to do with degree. Degree of status, degree of rank. You'll read some versions that use the word little here in reference to time. That man was made for a little time lower than the angels. No, man will always be lower in status than the angels. So little doesn't have reference here to time. So if you're reading from a version that says a little while or a little time, they're misusing the word little there. Remember the first text, Hebrews 1, verse 5 through verse 14, was the superiority of the Son over the angels. But there was at a time in the Son's life upon this earth when he was a little lower in status and rank than the angels, and that's when he became a man. You have made a man lower than the angels. You've crowned him with glory and honor and set him over the works of your hands. You have put all things in subjection under his feet. All of God's creation, all things here, has reference to God's creation. All things have been subjected to the rule of man upon this earth. For in that he, that is God, put all in subjection under him, that is under man, know this, he left nothing that is not put under him. That means all has been subjected, all of God's creation has been subjected to the rule or dominion of man. But note now, contrast begins. But now, what does the now have reference to? Well, now that Christ is seated at the right hand of God, now. Psalm 8, verse 1 through 9, it was clear that God had subjected all to the rule of man. That is, all his creation. Just as we read in Genesis 1 and verse 26 and following. But now we do not yet see all things put under him. There are many things in this creation of God that man simply has no rule over yet. We haven't been to the depth of the sea yet. Oh, we've gone many miles in the sea, but we haven't reached the bottom of some parts of the sea. We haven't reached the outer spaces. That is, we've never been able to go yet beyond the place in which we could see with the telescopes that we have. Even with the telescopes we have, we can't see, we can't go there. By the time we would get to where we can see with the modern telescopes that we have, everybody who would be going there would be dead before they got there, because it takes so many light years to get there. But now we do not yet see all things put under him. All things were put in subjection and dominion to man. But now we do not yet see all things put in his subjection, under his rule and under his dominion. To see means to perceive and understand. We understand and comprehend the fact that we do not have rule and dominion over everything in this creation, though it has been given to man. But what do we see? What do we perceive? This is what we see. We see Jesus. We perceive, comprehend, and understand Jesus. Now, this is the first time that Jesus is mentioned by the Hebrew writer, and it's significant because it speaks of his humanity. Speaks of his humanity. The first chapter spoke of his deity. Now his humanity is being spoken of. But we see Jesus, note this, who was made a little lower than the angels. When was he made a little lower than the angels? When did he become, you might say, in a lesser degree superior to the angels? When did he become inferior to angels in a little degree or status? When he became a man. But he had to become a man for a particular reason and for a particular purpose. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than angels, note this, for the suffering of death crowned with glory and honor. If you could put that in parentheses or put dashes between angels and for, or honor and that where the comma is, set it off like a parenthetical statement. That's what you need to do. And it is rendered that way in some Bible versions. Because the beginning of the verse, once you skip that parenthetical statement, picks up at the end of the verse. Note this. Note what it says. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, that, in order that or so that, he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. Why was he made a little lower than the angels? So he could die for your sins and my sins. That's why he was made a little lower than the angels. He was made man so he could taste death for every man. Now I want you to think about that psalm we read. Though that psalm deals with man receiving glory and honor from God, because God gave him dominion and rule over all of his creation, it hadn't taken place yet. It did not take place until Jesus was seated at the right hand of his Father in heaven. And then all things were subject to man. That is, to the man Jesus Christ, who was made a little lower than the angels, that or so that, by the grace of God, he might taste death for everyone. And because he was made a little lower than the angels, And because he suffered death for every man, then God bestowed glory and honor upon him. We see this same thought expressed by Paul to the saints in Philippi, in Philippians 2 and in verse 5. Let this man be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, note this, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. That's when he was made a little lower than the angels. When he came into this world as man and suffered and died on the cross for you and me. And because of that, God has highly exalted him, Philippians 2 and in verse 9, and given him the name which is above every name, given him the title which is above every title that man might wear, to show his superiority, to show his status, to show his rank. This morning we noted that name or that title was Son. In our context here, it is Lord. That at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on the earth and of those under the earth. And that every tongue should confess or acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Indeed, He is Lord. And he became Lord and recognized by that title that no one else wears. It is a title above all titles, superior to all titles, just like the Son is superior to an angel. Lord is superior to all. There's not a king upon this earth, a president, or some head of state in any place around the world or ever has been that has a higher title, a higher status than Lord Jesus Christ. He is over all. He governs all. The lesson is yours. I hope it helps to understand how it is that Jesus was made a little lower than the angels. He was made a little lower than the angels when he became man so that he might die for man. So what is man that God would think of him? God was thinking of him when David wrote that psalm. God was thinking of man about the aid and help that he could render man through the man, Jesus Christ, by providing him as a sacrifice for our sins. If you're here this evening and you're not a Christian, our desire is that you would become one. Through faith, repentance, confession, and baptism for the remission of your sins. If you're a child of God and have sin in your life, make yourself right before it's too late. We'll pray with you and for you as we stand and sing the song selected.